Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's, home of the $5 Biggie Bag. Predators are in Arizona tonight. And the GM, David Poile, he joins us on the show live now. David, how are you? Thank you for joining us on game day.
I am good. Everything is good. I'm out in Arizona. Very nice. Probably going to get up to about 95 degrees here today, but the rink feels pretty cold right now.
You're missing some good weather here in Nashville. Just throwing that out there. Will Philip Forsberg be available to play for the team tonight?
Probably a game time decision. If he's able to go, that's great. If he's not, Daniel Carr will go into his spot. Hoping Phil can play, but if not, be a great opportunity for Daniel Carr to play in a high position in our lineup.
What's the thought process, but with putting Carr in that spot if available?
Well, we're carrying 13 forwards, so he is the next man up, and Peter is very happy with our lines of how they played, and I don't think he wants to disrupt anything if Philip can't go. And we signed Carr as an offensive player. He hasn't, he's worked hard, but he hasn't produced anything in terms of points or goals in preseason or the two other opportunities he's got. So we put him on waivers the other day with the intention of sending him down to Milwaukee if he cleared. But that's one of those stories that maybe this could be an unbelievable turn of events if he gets in tonight, because he's a good player. He has produced at every level except the NHL to this point. We think he just probably needs a little bit more of an opportunity. So this could be a great story because he was basically a couple of hours from going down to Milwaukee yesterday until, you know, Phillip's situation developed. So let's see what happens here tonight.
David Poile with us here on the Midday 180. The power play has now scored in 5 straight games. And I don't have to remind you that you didn't have a stretch where you scored in 4 straight last year. The power play is clicking. How much of this is coaching? How much of this is what we're seeing with personnel?
It's probably a little bit of both, to be, you know, very bottom line with you. I mean, last year it was power play was so poor, and we just couldn't get out of our own way. I mean, it was meeting after meeting, different coaches taking a shot at it. It was almost like I felt like we were paralyzed when we got a power play instead of giving us some momentum. It actually went the other way. Instead of it being a fluid process where guys were moving the puck around freely and, you know, moving the puck eventually and off into the net, that nothing was happening. I think the fact that we did hire Dan Lambert as a new coach with new ideas and a new voice certainly is a big part of it. The fact that he's got a really good track record with having good offensive teams, and specifically teams that have good power plays, I think gave him some instant credibility with our players. And the other part is I think the players are just, I don't know, so embarrassed probably by how ineffective our power play was last year that they were totally open for any new ideas. Matt Duchene is a big addition to our forwards and to our offense and to our power play. So I think all those things have contributed to us having a power play that looks like it could be one of the better ones in the league this year, from going from the worst in the league last year. So again, a huge change in the right direction for the Predators and their offense.
What's your feeling about the third defensive pairing right now? Whatever combination of those three guys that you're using, how comfortable are you with it? And would you like to settle on two, or is it okay to be mixing it up?
Well, I think we've always carried 8 defensemen since Lavi's been here. We're actually only carrying 7, 7 now. So if you can remember the last few years, it was always probably an area that gets talked about for a few reasons. One is our top four has always been so strong. The minutes are never even close to being equal. In other words, our top four are playing over 20 minutes a game, 23, 24 minutes a game, and our bottom defensemen are playing like 12 minutes a game. So they they don't, you know, again, their game is never as fluid as their top four. They're never put in as many important situations. I think we're, you know, again, it's just early in the year right now. I think you could start at the top where I think Ekholm, Ellis, and Josi are playing really, really good, as we expect them to do, and they're top defense in the league. I think Dante Favreau is doing very good in, you know, a short period of time, but yet, you know, it's a lot to throw at a young guy right now to play those huge minutes. So my expectations and my belief is that our third pair, whether it be Dan Hamhuis, Irwin, or Weber, all got a lot of experience, and they should be able to, you know, play more and play higher if needed. If you remember last year, Subban was out for almost 20 games at one point, and Dan Hamhuis played regularly with Matthias Ekholm and did a fine job there. So I think we're good there. I mean, it's you know, again, it's whether it's fair or not, they're being compared to our top two pairs, and again, you know, honestly, they probably just don't get in as many opportunities. It's probably harder to play. It's sort of like a backup goalie. Maybe you wish you could play a little bit more, but all in all, I think their experience should be good for us, and I think we should be fine with our defense.
Preds GM David Poile with us on 104.5 The Zone.
I mentioned Hamhuis there. He and Pekka, two of the older guys in the league, I think two of the 11 oldest guys in the league at 36 and 37, and you've got only one guy under 24, which makes you, I was surprised to see, the oldest team in the league at 28.7 average. I'm sure you knew that because you know the roster inside and out. What does it say about you for this season and beyond? And I know GMs generally like to be young. Young also tends to be cheap.
Well, we're no longer young, and we're no longer cheap. those are the old days. You got that confused with the old National Predators. This is the new National Predators. You know, I don't know what the sweet spot is exactly. You know, the Colorado Avalanche are up and coming young team, but they've been a team that's hardly made the playoffs in the last seven or eight years. And what would you expect? I mean, of course they're going to be young, and of course they're going to be upcoming with, you know, getting first picks and things like that. And I give four or five examples of that. The fact that we've been at the top of the league for the last 5 or 6 years and keeping primarily our team together tells me that we were probably one of the youngest teams in the league 5 or 6 years ago. And since we've basically kept our team together, we have to be one of the oldest teams. So it all seems logical. You know, having said that, it's not like, you know, you just mentioned Dan Hamhuis and Pekka, you know, at 36 and 37. And I think goaltenders are a little bit different, and they can play when they're older. And I don't think anybody has any questions on Pekka right now, who's 4-0 on the season. And you know, Dan Hamhuis, we sent him for a 2-year deal. You know, probably this could be his last season. So I get that. But we've traded away a lot of draft picks. We've traded away some young prospects to stay at a high level. So I think we're in a good spot. I think we're in a sweet spot. I get it, and I don't think I want to get any older. I would probably like to put some younger players in the lineup when that opportunity presents itself. And if you remember when we talked last couple of weeks there, we talked about training camp and how we saw some improvement in players like Yuli Tolvanen and Rem Pitlick. One of the players that we got in the PK Subban deal, Jeremy Davies. I mean, I think you're going to see some of these guys play here this year, at least for some games. And, you know, if you look into the future next year or 2 years from now, when you put some 23 or 4, 22-year-old players in the lineup and you lope off some guys that are in your 30s, then you probably get back into the middle of the pack. So I'm happy with our team, and I think we're in a good spot right now.
We always learn something when David Poile joins us on the Midday 180. I'll assume, David, UC Saros is going to start one of these next two games, maybe tonight. How important is it that he have a great bounce back after two rough starts to begin the year?
Well, that would be great for us and great for the team. I mean, I'm not being you know, sarcastic in what I'm saying here, but UC's been terrific since the beginning of a training camp, and unfortunately probably is two days that he wasn't spot on, if you will, were in the two games he played. But we know we've seen it last year. You know, I sort of thought in the game in LA where we lost 5-4, we kind of had him out there by himself there for most of the game until the third period when we really started playing well and we tied it up, and you know, it seemed like we were the better team and it seemed like we were going to win the game. And instead, you know, it's a little bit of a goal that Yussi wishes he would have had back, and you know, that could have been the turnabout right there if we would have come back and got a point in that game or had won that game. But I think you're right. You know, it's the way our travel is here. We're going to travel home tomorrow, so it's going to be a day off and an all day travel to get home, and then we play Saturday. So I know the coaches are going to play Juice and Pekka in either in one of the two. Each is going to play a game in these next two games, and I know our guys have a lot of confidence in Juice. We do. I just hope with this next start, if it's tonight or Saturday, that he can get a win because you know, he needs it right now. There's no question about that.
You mentioned traveling home. I'm curious about this. I was looking at the schedule earlier. Twice as many home games to road games this month. And the schedule evens out over the course of the season. But if you had your choice, would you rather play a bunch of home games early like it is right now or hit the road out of the gate?
Well, I don't know. I've seen it and done it in different ways. I mean, I guess this is the very if we could open up maybe a couple of games in the road, I think that's not a bad way to do it. It seems like every year the team wants to get together, kind of renew all of their friendships and what have you, bonding on the road and all that stuff. I can tell you this trip has been really good from that standpoint. I mean, you know, we're in Los Angeles and we were in Las Vegas right after that. They had the rookie dinner, and I've talked to a few of the players, and I think they've all had dinners out together and what have you, and I think that's been really, really good. So, you know, for sure, early in the year, you want to get away for a little bit to spend some time on the road. But as you said, it all balances out. I know at the end of the year, we're going to play 41 at home and 41 away, so it'll all be taken care of. But if you get these home games early like we do, I mean, certainly would be nice to be, you know, winning the majority of those games, because it's always a little bit easier at home than it is on the road. So I just hope that we can take care of that. We're 3-1 at home right now, and when we get back next week, we got what, 3 more games at home. So hopefully we can do well there.
Another something else I was thinking of, and we won't talk to you for a couple of weeks, but you were just in Vegas. The atmosphere there still seems to be exactly the same that as it was when they came into the league. From a standpoint of just growing the sport, did you ever imagine it would work this well in that market?
No, because I didn't know the market that well. I just, you know, I've been to Vegas quite a bit. I just thought that it probably was a city that, you know, was so one-dimensional in terms of, you know, talking about the gambling and things like that. That's, you know, what did the people do there for?
Right.
For pleasure and having a good time. So from that standpoint, I felt that maybe this had a really good chance. But their ownership and all the people involved in the hockey side have done an unbelievable job. I mean, their game presentation now, I think they've actually copied a lot off of the Predators. So good for them. I guess that's the best form of flattery when somebody copies stuff. But they've got their own little things, and that building is loud. I think Bridgestone and Vegas are the two loudest buildings in the league right now.
I agree, and I just give credit where credit's due. I thought we would see a little drop-off in that from year one to where we saw them in the postseason to now, and just tuning in randomly to some of their games, that's not the case.
On TV, on Tuesday it certainly night, plays you know? That way.
David, thank you so much. We always enjoy these visits, and we'll do it again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
Okay, guys, thank you. Talk to you soon.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
David Poile has been our guest.